Welcome to another episode of the Solo Dad Podcast. We've got Matt here, and I'm with my good buddy, friend, pal, connected in grief. I don't know, we work on it. Ben, what's up, my friend?
Nada, how are you?
Oh, doing well. Not to set the stage because it's a podcast. I am actually sitting in my wife's childhood home bedroom, which is a little surreal, but we're making it work. So, and I may tap the mic a few times or whatever because I forgot the stand, but we're on the road doing the show.
Yeah, Ryan, we're taking it on the road.
Yeah, Ben sitting in his comfort of his own home. Yeah, we're doing well, man. Taking a quick little road trip, see the in-laws, and then gonna see some friends at a lake house later this week, trying to enjoy a little bit of summer. And then I know off air before we start talking, you got the summer schedule of the summer camps right now, which I wanted to kind of segue, we'll go to what we're going to talk about. But I think that we were talking again right before we press record about like getting some of that aerial coverage to free up some time for yourself. Cause I know you got like a ride coming up, right, this weekend mm-hmm. or whatever. And I was just talking about like, you know, Blair's in her pre-K program. Just that I want people who listen to know that like, you know, getting the kids cared for so that you can take some time for yourself, whatever that means, is so important. Right. Like, I just think
100%.
Yeah. Especially, I know we're all coming out of this post COVID lockdown wave or whatever. I think it's important. So,
even if it's just like 30 minutes to an hour, right? I mean, just being able to get whatever it is on your chest, whether it's like you need an errand to do it or a vacuum or just to sit in quiet. I mean, like, it doesn't matter like what it fits you because like everybody's different. Like, some people I know that like, Gwen used to be like the kitchen counter was messy or it had like, it would just spin her up like nobody's business. And so if that's your thing, like take 3 minutes and like get that clutter out, get it clean, get yourself a break so that like that one little mental.
Oh my God. It's just amazing.
Thing doesn't some, happen.
The clutter thing. So at my house, there's like you walk in and there's a couple of, let's go countertops. One's a bar, one's the actual counter. But I'm like, there's a mud room off the garage. I'm like, these three areas, if they're clear, I don't care what the rest of the house is. Like, it's so funny. And I'm like, I will literally just push stuff off of it onto the floor. I'm like,
You know, like rhyming with the coffee table. Like, there's a toy on here. I'm trying to drive a car. Pleasure.
I don't care. Just push here. Blair, this is what we call bulldozing. This is how we clean house. No, I think it's important that people hear it. And kind of going into a little bit, not to awkwardly segue too bad, but we wanted to discuss the new movie that came out with Kevin Hart on Netflix, right?
Yeah, I got mm-hmm. it right. Yeah, Netflix.
Called Fatherhood. And just as two solo dads, and it's based on, I think I have this right, and I'm not going to say his last name because I'm going to get it wrong, but it's based on the book Two Kisses for Maddie, written by mm-hmm. a gentleman by Matt. We go like, it started as a blog and turned into a book because yeah. basically his wife, spoiler alert, his wife basically had a pulmonary embolism, right?
Yeah. This. Had through a blood clot after surgery.
Yeah, like days after having the baby. And so unfortunately passed away like in the hospital with the newborn, which again, there's no comparing or winning in these stories, but like, oh man, that one hit hard. So you watched it, I watched it, and it'll be interesting. I know a couple of our solo dads probably gave it a go, and maybe we'll get their opinions on it too. But why don't we start with like, what hit you the hardest? Like, as far as like, wow, that one really hit home, like in little scenes in the movie or whatever. Because I have a couple that really, really got to me.
Yeah, I did too. It was an interesting mix for me. There were moments in there that like really... pull the strings. One of them was actually in the hospital, because in my situation, every one of Gwen's pregnancies were super messy and really complicated. And after the first one, she had to go in for emergency secondary surgery, because her intestines quit moving. So like all the medicine and the ulcerative colitis and things the surgery she had before.
Yep, that's so a thing. They didn't restart.
they didn't restart, and they had like they because of medicine. So they sort of fixed it for the next two, but like I remember that first one and having her wheeled into emergency surgery after the fact.
Man. Yeah,
yeah. So like I that one hit.
So it's interesting. My buddy, his wife had something happen during their first. And he was saying, and I'm seeing the Kevin Hart scene in the movie where basically my buddy's like looking through the thing as his wife goes in for whatever minor little, but he goes, it was scary to sit there and be like, my wife's having potentially life-saving, I think it stops some bleeding or whatever, surgery. And I'm looking at a baby that's hours old and thinking to myself, what? And so I can only imagine, right? I mean, that's right back in that. It's so quick too, how fast those things can pull you right back in the moment. Like you don't smell it.
I hadn't thought about that in so long.
Right.
Like,
well, because everything turned out okay.
Yeah. Everything was fine. But like, just that one scene of her, I was just like, I actually had to stop it for a minute after that one. So like that one hit for me.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know. They were just like some of the sweet moments with with his daughter, were really touching. And then, for me, and I'm sure because like Nadia has, you know, mentioned before about being the only girl in the house and having that kind of missing that one thing or whatever, when she was kind of talking about being the only one and they're missing it, like that whole conversation.
Yep.
That one hit home too. And I don't know, just we were talking about that beforehand. She's like the one scene where she's at her friend's house. Getting tucked into bed for the sleepover.
For the sleepover, and the mom's tucking in the daughter. Right, right.
Yeah, and just the look in her face of knowing that she's missing having a mom to be able to tuck her in, and the kiss goodnight, and all those things. That just like,
and you know,
that one was crushing.
Well, and what's amazing is, and I would, it's what's a, so not to like go way too dissect it, but you notice like the mom never even like tucked the girl in. I think they did that on purpose, right? Because it showed really a very distant, you know, separation of like her friend has a mom, she does not. The mom did all her little goodnight stuff with her and walked out. She probably said goodnight to Maddie as well, the girl, the character.
They didn't like tuck her in or give her a hug.
And she took off her own slippers where the mom took off her slippers. So it was definitely poignant in that matter. And I think it would be really good, you know, with all the free time we all have all the time, maybe to go quickly go read The Two Kisses for Maddie, because it could be a story in there that Matt maybe relayed where it was like, it was very defining of like, you know, there's some definite points where I could feel that like, this is a point they were trying to make. And it just felt very like, and if it wasn't done intentionally, it turned out really well regardless. Mm-hmm. For me, the one that is interesting, the one that really kind of hit me that got me really choked up. The beginning, obviously, I think just because of the level of empathy where you go like, I can't even, you know, getting pushed out of the room because your person just is dying right there.
Yeah.
That's it. I think just, you know, the mom factor, all of it, I think is, even though that wasn't my situation per se, but the other one that really hit for me was when the daughter, Maddie, was lecturing, Kevin Hart, I think his character's name is Matt, about like, there's supposed to be more people in the family. It's always just us. And I'm like, that's going to be Blair if I don't like, it's always just you and me. Well, thank goodness Blair likes to wear dresses. Cause if she was like, hey, I want to wear pants and boy shorts, I'd be like, I don't know, whatever you want.
You know? Knock yourself out.
Yeah. And I'm like, so there's a couple of those where it just kind of like mimicked and reflected back a little future ish and a little like, oh man, that's going to be a situation if things don't change or redefine your family, whatever it is.
Right.
And I think that the other one that I found interesting was like, what was the other one that kind of hit? It was when to see the look on Kevin's face. Remember, off air where I was saying I felt like they glossed over it, but when he really like replayed the death of his wife to his new love interest in the movie, like just seeing him, you know, go down to the, and I'm sure you like, I know yours was difficult as well, but just like, it's amazing to me, as I just said a minute ago, how quickly you can go right back to that moment, right? Like, it's like, it's been a year, it's been two, it's been three. And I think in the movie, it felt to probably about six, right? She's about six or seven first grade or something like that. And so you just kind of go like, man, you could see the soul wretching, right? In the acting, and just like, that was another one for me where it's like, man, if I have to retell it, it's cathartic. You need to be able to share it with somebody. It's also really hard. right?
Yeah.
And the poor person, like, and we're a little bit talking about this with your situation too, is, you know, the person you're dating at the time, the person you're with, the person you wind up being with, they're having like empathy grief. I don't even know if that's a phrase, but I'm trying to like steal it. Like,
but it's a like, thing. I don't know if there's a phrase for it.
Right.
But it's a
I'm
thing.
Sad for this person I care about because they lost someone they cared about that I may have never met, which is a bizarre. Usually we're sad because, you know, we lost somebody, not because someone else lost somebody, and the pain and all that comes with it going through that. So I think that the airport scene, definitely the hospital scene.
Or even the one at the end where he was just like, I didn't even realize he went back to the same hospital where his wife died.
Oh, well, like, I was going to touch on that, like, about my anxiety thing, which if you listen to the episode prior to this, probably, that's grief anxiety, which is where he wanted to take her out of the hospital because I felt this before where, like, and I know they went a little to the extreme, which is, again, a movie and they have to do these sort of things. But like, remember he had run over to his girlfriend's house after dropping the daughter off school. Again, I feel like I'm going to ruin the movie for everybody to enjoy the company of his girlfriend. His daughter has an accident at school. He misses the call. Right.
Yeah.
And this goes to the thing you and I are talking about where it's like, I need a bubble I can control. Mm-hmm. And the moment you step out of that bubble, do anything for yourself, then I'm not going to be there. Right.
Yeah.
And that's nice on paper, but it's not a thing. And I could see both his panic and the fact that he's back at the same hospital that his wife was at. I was like, I totally related to that where I was like, yeah, if I'm off doing something and I don't get the phone call or I miss it, I failed myself in some weird expectation no one has set for me that is ridiculous for any parent. You can't be there for everything. It's not. And if you think you can, then you're miserably failing somewhere else in your life. If all you ever
and
do
and
is
you're really right. setting yourself up for
a catastrophe in somewhere in your life. Even if you show up for everything for your kid, that means somewhere else in your life you're not showing up, whether it's work or a relationship or whatever. You've got to find a balance. So that one hit home with me, especially considering what we just talked about. And the last one, I was like, oh, I get that.
Ding, 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 ding.
I'm like, son of a bitch. Yeah. I think that was good. What, and I want to make sure I say this a couple of times. I am so glad that they did a movie about a guy who's, this sounds so bad. I am so happy. I'm honored. I don't know. It sounds, I'm so glad they did a movie.
That's a good word. I'm so stoked that they did a movie
about a guy whose wife died and had to raise a kid. It's right up there with like the Star Wars trilogy now. Anyway, no, I'm glad it's out there in the sense of like, it's a real thing, right?
Yeah.
Even though it might be a sliver of the population, it's a thing. It's a thing.
Yeah. And it was number one movie for a couple days.
Yeah.
It's like people are watching it and like, I like the idea that it's out there. So it kind of does the same thing. Like we're trying to do with this. We're trying to get the word out, trying to get some, like some contact, get some discussion going.
Right.
And that had hit so many people. I can't imagine the conversations that got started off of that.
So there's a couple of different Facebook groups I'm in. And one I think is like daughters and dads or dads with daughters or something. And regardless of the situation, almost 99% of the guys, whether they were single or they're still married or they were whatever the situation was, most of them were like, it was some sort of, tongue in cheek, like, well, I, don't know what was wrong with the movie, but someone must've been chopping onions around my house at the time. Or it got super dusty.
I'm not crying. You're crying.
Yeah. I wasn't crying, but it was super, like, I have really bad allergies at 11 o'clock at night on a Friday. Right. And a couple of people said they watched it. One guy, I'll have to go through and I really hope I can make a connection with him. He actually sat with like his 8-year-old and it sounds like it was a very similar situation where like mom died pretty young. And like it actually fostered some questions that he maybe hadn't had recently with his daughter, like, maybe like how or mom or whatever. And it was really good. The other one, especially I'm sitting here right now, just came to me was when Maddie went home to her mom's home.
Yeah.
And how excited she was to hear about mom and the grandma took her around to like this little
tour.
And I was like, there's for those listening, like if it's feasible at whatever the correct timing is, and it'll probably be slightly before you're actually ready. If you're not local, you definitely want to make that physical connection of the person that's gone to where they were at some point in their life. Not necessarily maybe their birth home or where they grew up, but like you may want to take them, this is the hike mom liked, or this is the bike trail that mom liked, or here's the restaurant that mom had coffee with friends or whatever. It's just because at that age, they're so young.
Yeah, it makes it
things
concrete.
Have to be tactile at some point. And it just, it really, it felt good to see that as well. Especially again, being where I am right now, literally, you know, while my daughter plays with my wife's mom is, you know, in her home she grew up in is a good thing. As hard as it might be, right? Like it's really nice to see, right? And yeah. So I think that was kind of, I remember that one. I was like, ooh, that kind of hit too, which was in a good way.
Yeah. One thing that kind of surprised me on the movie was there towards the end when he because the whole grandparent conversation kind of got me thinking, like when he dropped Maddie off at his mother-in-law's parents.
Right. He was going to go on like a business trip or something, right?
Oh yeah. He was just like, it almost sounded like he was like, I'm going to give it, I can't do it. But he'd already made it like 6 years. Like he'd made it through the infancy. He'd made it all the craziness. And right as like, it was obvious he was doing a good job other than like the one school accident that happened to the playground. Even that,
I mean, things happen.
Like,
things happen.
Exactly, like I can't tell you how many band-aids I've ripped through. Like, I own stock in Johnson Johnson just because of the
band-aid. What's a great one from Wellies? Wellies. You gotta get Wellies.
Oh yeah, those and just awesome. Like it's like I was like, how can you be thinking about this as a possibility?
Made it all the way right. Well, yeah. And this is the movie part, right? Like right. You have to take some. I'm sure, like if you actually did it chronologically, that event probably happened way earlier. But in order to make the movie arc work, because I thought the same thing too. I'm like, you fed her, raised her, had some, whether you never left the house or you just figured it out, and whatever his support network was to get up to, we'll just call it year six, had been working apparently. Yeah. But I think the conflict that they slightly glazed over was this idea that, like, remember, and he tried to say it, and I think it was like, you know, him saying, "Who am I making the best decision for? Am I making it for me?"
Oh,
or for
right,
Maddie,
yeah, right? Yeah.
And I think I'm kind of butchering it a little bit, but because he'd been making all these decisions, thinking I think that's what they're trying to convey is like he was making the best decisions he thought it was for Maddie,
right?
But maybe it was really for him, or vice versa. Like he was making the best decision for Maddie, but it wasn't for him. And so this goes down to the conversation of like a little bit of at some point, in my opinion, you have to take some ownership of your life again.
Yeah.
Because 100%. It becomes your life. As much as we wish it was still our life with our partner and spouse, that's not true anymore.
Well, I think, and we've kind of talked about this, or maybe, I don't remember if we did it on the air or not, but like the last wishes, like where she's like, your mommy went to school here.
Yeah.
She wanted you to go to school here.
Right.
And it's obvious that it's not working for them, but they're forcing it because it's something. And they realize like, you know what? But, and then the school changes dress code, they were getting ready to like, hey, if this is a thing, we'll just switch it up because it's obviously.
Would you remember the line he said about right before that or right after that?
By changing
the school is what he says is because mom wants you to be happy.
Right. Okay. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Right. Which I think is a great fork in the road where it's like, you know, there are things that we may do out of tradition or out of assumed responsibility or obligation, I should say, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then, but really the arc is, again, assume most people's partner or spouse wasn't a jerk and a narcissistic whatever, but you would assume, right, that they would want some level of happiness, right? And so I think that's kind of the turning point too in the movie where like, oh, like we can send you to this school, but if it makes you unhappy, let's find an alternative. It starts with you making you happy, which that would still be mom's wishes, right?
Yep.
And I think I re-listened to it a little bit ago, the Mother's Day one where we talked about like, you know, the more you try to hold on to like something, especially when you're like conveying it to or through the children and you're like, but this is a thing and this is what we do every whatever. June 2nd, we go to the cemetery and we have a picnic lunch on mom's. And this is what we did. And it's like the harder you do that, it seems to be the more pushback you get in life. I'm just like, just in life, not right. Right. And so like, if you kind of go like, wait a minute, why did we do this? What was the original purpose? Well, mom wanted you to go to the school because it is a good school.
It's a good school. Yeah.
But mom also enjoyed going to school and was happy and would want to see you happy. So it's actually, you kind of have to like figure out what's really the motivation and why you're doing what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And it all starts from, I think, a good place. But I think sometimes we behold the obligation and, you know, wanting to honor those wishes. Sometimes we kind of have to take a step back and be like, hold up. Is this really under the context of if I have a loving, supporting person in my life, my spouse here or not, is this really what we still do? Right. Like whether it's a school or whether it's an activity or, you know, it's like, well, mom would want you to be on the swim team. Would she, if she was really good at playing volleyball? Like, you know, so I think that was, and, you know, I also really liked how, now granted, I think the book that it's based on is almost, because I think Maddie's like a teenager now in real life. And so it's almost like written in 03, 04 ish, somewhere around there, maybe even 05. Oh, wow. I guess I'd be almost 15. So yeah, probably 15 years ago. And so what's interesting though, is like how they kind of brought it forward with like, you know, the clients having apps. And what I did love is that like, I need to read the book, but like him having to work with the kid and this idea of like, and I think dads kind of do this sometimes, where like, oh, I have kids and we try not to, I don't want to say what's the right word. Like, we try to make it like not an excuse. And then all of a sudden, like all of his clients, right? They come forward going like, oh, I had a crier as well. Here's what we did, swaddling work or the white noise app or whatever. So I think one of the things that as a dad watching this, like, man, there's nothing wrong with owning up to the fact that like you have a kid at home or wherever and you're struggling with something. You might be shocked how many people who will understand that. Right. Like his boss did, and his boss, because his boss was older. Right. Which, you know, he's like, I don't know what to do, but I think you'll find more people would be like, no, I totally get it. Or they have, you know, they have way more understanding of being, you know, of the parenting aspect than I think people will give credit. Right. And so I kind of like that part where he was like, you know, he's doing the vacuum thing in the office and the clients come over and they're like, what is going on? He's got like, the lady goes skin to skin contact. So he's giving the rest of the presentation with the kid, like, you know, he's got like half his shirt off or whatever. And I think that like all of a sudden, you know, I think people realize that like, you know, parenting is, you know, people do it all the time. So, you froze. Oh no. I'm just going to hold for a second. Ah! Is that me or you? Uh-oh. I'm going to, what do I do? Do I just pause? I'm going to pause. You go.
Okay. Yeah. Like, and as accepting as they were to do the twists and the turns and helpful, because like this, like the parenthood community is always willing to throw in a chip. People are always going to be willing to tell you something they think will be helpful. Like the voice of help is very strong.
Have you tried giving the baby whiskey? Sir, we haven't done that since the cigarettes.
But no, I'm gonna just dip it. You put it on their gums after you take a sip. But that's
kind sip for daddy, sip for baby.
Yeah,
that is actually, you know, which is true, and I think most people, again, not giving bad advice on purpose to watch you suffer, are trying to help.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, I think that's definitely, I think you're right. I think that's a good reflection of in the movie of like the, you know, not all of us, but all of us were children. Mm-hmm. Most of us become parents at some point in our lives and, they're out there, right? You forget that your coworker is also probably a parent and your boss, old or young, probably was a parent either now or then or not, maybe not, but like I think that's the thing that people kind of go like, well, I'm the only one going through this. Well, you're the only one going through this in your world, but there are people that have gone through something similar. So I like that part too, where it was like, you know, there's a quiet community that you can reach into. And then I think that in the movie they did a good job of like, hey, remember the scene we were talking about before, the non-AA group.
Well, the parents
talk about that. Talk about that. Right. Talk about that.
Yeah. That was one of my favorite parts. Like we were talking, like I loved how they mixed a very poignant fact with comedy on that one. Just because like there are, if you look at like some of the hospitals have started doing dad classes now too, which has been super nice. And some of them are doing parents class, but historically, and what you see, the vast majority of are like mom's groups or mom clubs or mom whatever. So like, and so there is a small transition, but it's, you have to go out and look for it. Whereas everything else is really kind of thrown at you when you're a new mom. And so he walks in and they just like look at like shocked and not after they've been going, talking to all these like baby issues and things. And like, oh, no, the AA meeting's down the hall. And he's like, no, I'm in the right room. Right. I'm a parent. They're like, well, this is a mom's class. He's like, no,
the sign out says new parent.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, well, I guess so. And then he just goes into like the fact of like baby poop. And right. Baby poop is the most bizarre, ridiculous. Oh, it's tarry. It's yellow. It's kind of, she's like, if you don't know what you're getting into, like if the hospital had not told me that I forget what it's called, but that the black cleansing that like, if they had not mentioned that to me before, I would have lost my mind.
I would have gone to the ER.
There's like, this is not normal. This is not right.
No. And I have pooped often in my life and that has never happened to my memory.
Yeah.
So I would have gone straight. I'm like, I've seen a lot of different stuff come out of my own butt and,
that's not it.
That is not on the list.
And that doesn't look anything like formula or whatever, or
nothing we put in her.
Nothing. Right. So yeah, back to the hospital. So no, I can only imagine. Yeah. And so, and then like, once in like, oh yeah, do the white noise or it's colicky or like all these things that, especially too, like if it was one of those things where it wasn't maybe as readily accessible, depending on the time frame for them to be able to dig that stuff up. Plus too, like sometimes if you're scrambling and you've got house and work and baby, like you don't sometimes necessarily have the time, especially the infancy, because you're just exhausted.
Oh, it's
like do research into a crying, like, cause you sit down to read a book and you're out.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
So I completely
you're looking for Blair was colicky and you're looking for the quickest solution to get sleep, right? Yeah. Like you don't have time to read five different solutions. You're like, I don't have time to like lab test this stuff. Like I needed to work yesterday.
We tried to set the house on fire because we were so sleep deprived. I mean, like it's just in the most ridiculous, horrible way possible. Well, just like it was like, it's when you get that tired, your brain doesn't work. Like it's just, it shuts down.
It's crazy. So I did. Yeah. I think, you know, and I just looked, so the book's actually, 2011. So I was stretching a little bit, but so published in 2011, probably written a little before that. But so I did like how they kind of made it a little more, for today. Right.
Yeah.
I did like also how they generally, and no offense to any of our guy friends out there, but how they generally made his two good friends in the movie have no idea how to handle them, which I thought was awesome.
Yeah.
They were like, let's go on a night, you know, let's go for a night out to the clubs. And he was like, I just want to go home. Like I'm tired. This is your fun night out, not mine. I thought that was great. Generally
your friends are always there trying to like, hey, I want to help. I don't know how to help,
right?
But like, I was like, we used to like doing this, so maybe we try getting you out of the house and talk. Or
well, did you notice a couple of times his close friend? I can't remember, not the awkward guy, but the other one, the one that brings the goldfish over. That was hilarious. There's a couple of times when like he tried something, and then you'd see him kind of like regret it.
Yeah,
and he like kind of self talk.
Like stupid. Yeah,
he's like stupid. What are you doing? And so I was, you know, again, I'm sure those characters are an amalgamation of a couple of people or a couple of people in the book or whatever. But I thought that was good because it does show like, you know, them trying, right? Mm-hmm. Which is kudos to them. But also going like the guy in the office when he first returned, he goes, flowers are a weird thing to give someone who's lost somebody because they just die and throw them out. Like everything dies. And come after her, like, can you just stop talking?
Please. I'd had that conversation before when I was trying to do like a tribute to like the life thing after the like for the anniversary thing or whatever. I was like, what should we do for the kids? And they're like, well, some people plant flowers or something. I'm like, so I'm gonna plant something that I'm probably gonna end up killing, and the kids are gonna be like, that's mommy's flower. I'm like, no.
For anybody listening that hasn't lost somebody, pro tip, do not give somebody something to keep alive after someone they close to them has died. It's just, it's too much stress. Don't do it.
Too much.
Yeah. Especially animals. Don't give them don't give them a puppy. Like that's just mean, really. Like give them a minute. Like don't give them like what's a, don't give him like a bonsai tree. There's no chance. That thing is DOA.
And that doesn't
like,
do anything. Just, you get one random cactus in the table. They're not going
to keep it. Like, maybe, give, yeah, maybe give him a cactus.
Or what's the, those flake flowers. Go to,
yeah, or it's going to be like, what's the air ones? The succulents. Like, give him some, just drop that in a bowl once a month and you take it out. It's beautiful. Like, don't give someone, give them a beat to try to keep something alive because they're just going to be like, this is going to die anyway.
I kill everything. Everything will be terrible. Yeah.
So I thought overall, like, I know right before I think we press record, I was like, I watched it and I think I may have gotten interrupted, like Blair may have fussed or something. So I may have like had a pause and run up or whatever, check on her. But I felt like, I know it can only be, heck, I mean, yeah, it almost stretched it to 2 hours, I think.
Mm-hmm, close.
Yeah. And in the 2 hours, I'm like, man, there's just so many other parts that, you know, I think, I mean, you could have made it into a 6-hour trilogy, which would have been ridiculous, but like, you can't do that. Yeah. That, you know, me personally, there's just some that I was like, man, it just seemed highly glossed over. And, yeah, and
like
they have that, to
like
do
the
it.
Daughter meeting the girlfriend.
Yeah, and it almost goes perfectly right? Or yeah. Or like, you know, the friends set him up at the thing, and it just works, right? And you know, I'm like, yeah, I don't think it. And he did not go on apparently, according, and I'm sure he did again. I have not read the book. I will make sure I do so. But like, apparently, he never dated before that. So this the first one worked. Like, or Mazel Tov.
Yeah.
It's like he didn't date for
that
6 years.
Not the norm.
Wow. Can we, that's a whole movie, just the train wreck of his dates up until that one, right? Yeah. Like, so there's a few areas where I was like, and I get it. Overall, I think it was a fantastic movie. I think that it's great to have representation out there. You're right. The conversations in other dad groups, just like them watching it, and we'll just call them normal, whatever that means, but not a solo dad, that it hit him at home. And I think that's a good thing, right? Like, there's nothing wrong with that, saying that there are guys in our situation in different areas of how we get introduced to it, but like, we're out there doing, you know, I think the best we can. And that, you know, at times, and I was just saying this to someone else, we're like, you know, generally speaking, it feels like women do a heck of a job of forming community, right? Mm-hmm. Around whatever it might be.
Right. Yeah.
We're guys, I think, we form a community around like the thing we do, right? So whether it's the gym, rebuilding a car, you know, golfing, hunting, like that's it. We have great communities around that. But like around our like parenting or ourselves,
like actual dad community.
It's not great. And like, we were just at, it's a wonderful zoo, by the way, the Akron Zoo earlier today. And I did notice there was a couple of, what do you call them? Packs of stroller moms. Mm-hmm. There was not a single pack of stroller dads. Not a one. Right? Now there's other dads that are with their families. But it's like, dads don't take their kids in groups to the zoo. I don't know why. That's not what we want to talk about today. I'm like,
yeah, I'll say like, I think I mentioned this before, but like, I'm really fortunate that I've got a group of dads that we do that,
which is awesome.
It is phenomenal.
Which I think it's becoming more. It's becoming more the thing, which I think is great. But just like, you know, a random Friday at the Akron Zoo, there was no pack of dads taking their kids to the zoo that day, right? It's just an observation. It's not an exact science or an accusation or anything. But I'm like, so just put that in with the layer missing of a spouse. Like, we just don't know.
There's even grandma groups out here. Like, I live in an area with a lot of families, and grandparents live out here too. And like,
yeah,
the grandmothers even get together, and I haven't seen a single like grandfather
at the golf course, the coffee court, at the coffee shop.
Yeah.
At the horse track. I don't know where we're grandparents hang out. The movie theater. I don't know, wherever they are. But I do like, and what would have been interesting in the movie, and I should really read his book. If there was any sense of community, or did he have to go interject himself into the mom communities, right? In order to find it.
I'm interested to see.
Yeah. So overall, we'll definitely hashtag the living bejesus out of it. But overall, I think fatherhood is great. I would highly suggest probably watching it with at least a box of Kleenex around, unless you're a soulless human. all. But I mean, I was glad to watch it, and I didn't realize how powerful Matt's book and blog were. I guess it started as like he started blogging like as they were pregnant, and then
oh he did oh wow
yeah, and then it turned into like I'm blogging because this is like cathartic for me, healing, and a little like to keep the family and friends updated, mm-hmm. and then it caught fire somewhere, and then he turned it into a book basically.
Oh.
And it really, and there's some foundation he's a part of now that is like true to like me with colorectal cancer and things of that nature, where it's like, it just speaks to him. And so I think that helps too. I wonder if this is how I'm trying to articulate, like, I don't know if you felt like, is this how guys who watch Saving Private Ryan who were actually in World War II, like they're slightly removed from it, but it's almost like but it's still real. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, is it that sort of deal where like it takes you back, but at the same time, it's not me, but it's very similar. Like it was mm-hmm. interesting. Like I just was kind of like, oh, this is like, I felt like I was in it, but removed at the same time. So I thought they did a great job. Anything else about the movie for you?
Are you going to watch it with Blair?
Probably at some point. Right now, the problem is like, anytime the scary thing shows up in the movie, Blair bolts. So I don't know if you're aware of the Disney formula.
Death of parent, scare.
Death of parent or scary beast comes in the first 7 minutes and 11 seconds. So that's as far as we've gotten through any movie.
Yeah.
Disney, Pixar, or otherwise. Like,
I've given up on, I can't with my kids, especially my oldest. Like, she's like, nope. She was like, hey, like, let's watch a movie. It's like, it's a fright. We'll pop some popcorn and hang on the couch. Like, what movie are we going to watch? We're going to watch a Disney movie?
You want to watch Frozen? Oh, yeah. Mom and Dad Die in the Boat. Oh, you want to watch Finding Nemo? Oh, that's right. Mom, the kids get slaughtered. Do you want me to keep going? Because there's a formula. Because
every one of them. Bang.
The only one where moms and dad don't die, someone gets kidnapped. Like Rio, like the bird gets kidnapped. Like, it's just this. It's always like, it's just, it's your terror.
Crazy. Like, I know we're gonna still have mad drama to a 9-year-old. Here it comes. But it's okay.
Well, you know what? Brave. Let's see. Brave. Does anyone die in Brave? The girl that like the mom turns into a bear. The redhead? Like, I don't think anyone dies in that one.
Doesn't the dad get mauled protecting her? Like, doesn't he like lose a leg or something?
Yeah. But anyway, it's all just like,
yeah. Wreck-It Ralph even made a joke about it. The second Wreck-It Ralph movie.
Yeah.
Like the princess room or whatever.
Yeah.
I just about pissed myself. I was laughing so hard because it like we have daddy issues.
It's so true. Dangled right up in the thing. Yeah. Like they're all like, you're like, oh my God. You're like, so basically I can solve this for you. You just go ahead and just start watching any John Anderson, right? John Hughes movies with your kids. They're fine. Coming of age movies in the '80s. How bad could it be? Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Home Alone. Yeah. They're fantastic.
So much better.
Your kids are going to be educated really fast. I'm like, what is wrong with these kids? No, I think, yeah. So I would highly recommend checking out, watching it. The reviews on the book are fantastic. So I can't speak from it personally, but it's called Two Kisses from Addie. I think a story of like love and loss or something like that by Matt.
A memoir of loss and love is what it is. Two Kisses from Addie, a memoir of loss and love.
By Matt Logan?
Loughlin?
Yeah, sure. Anyway, you'll find it. I'd watch it with Blair. I think probably 2 years. So she'll be 4-6. Like, it'd be interesting if you were able to sit down and watch it with Nadia.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting. Yeah. It could bring up some interesting conversations for sure.
I think so too. Yeah. I was thinking hard, like her and Beckham. Yeah, it would be really tricky and hard, I think.
Yeah.
But once again,
and it starts off with, I know I was just editing this.
Gusto. One, so
this is an episode, lead in or drop, kick to the balls, punch to the heart. Is that how that works?
You know, is
that what it's right?
Punch to the heart, kick to the balls.
Punch to the heart, kick to the balls. One of the two. I was just editing that episode. And so like, just know that like it starts heavy, right? Yeah. Like, I mean,
gradual build up.
Take that back. They do a little bit of a flashback, don't they? I feel like they do.
Well,
because it kind of starts at the funeral.
It bounces. Yeah, it bounces.
Yeah, so, but it's still, in the first like 20 minutes, you're going to get hit hard, right? And so you just got to brace for impact and see, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know it's coming.
Yeah.
But they, like,
no spoiler. Right. Yeah. Which, so, I think that would be, I think it's a good exercise if you're a solo dad and you watch it. It may not be a bad thing to watch with your kids. I would say that are probably over five, and see if it prompts some conversations, because sometimes I think we forget also, like, you know, they're still in their grieving process, and, you know, as though we take care of Monday and we take care of Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we may forget that every now and then we need to go back and check on them and be like, you know, how do you have questions about what happened now that you're in phase in your mental capacities or whatever?
Because, or like, I'm even on days that are rough for them, like Father's Day for Nadia.
Oh, they're
gonna go to the pool and hang out for a little bit. And we were going to go to a local bar that had a patio and sit down and have a drink before meeting them back at the pool. Just like a moment for dads to get away for like an hour.
Yeah.
She lost it. Just started bawling.
Oh, do you not want you to go?
Right. Yeah. And so, like, even those days too, I mean, they get triggered the same ways and we do, but sometimes it's differently depending on, and like, it's like, sometimes you kind of get caught up in the swirl of things. You forget too that their little brains and bodies are trying to get sorted also.
We didn't talk about Father's Day, did we?
No, but that's something we need to do. Yeah. That might throw that in the mix.
Let's do that. Let's tee that up for the next one for sure. Cause I have some, let's, I love, that's a great lead in, right? Perfect. Mm-hmm. So the next one will be about Father's Day. Maybe we get either Ken or Kurt or somebody on too. But no, you're right. Like, and their triggers, I almost want to so think about this, right? So like, you want to go do what like pretty much every dad does. What do you want for Father's Day to be? I want a really cool card from you guys, handmade gift, whatever. And then from 9 until 4, I don't. But in our situation, we're abandoning them, right? Like, they have no mom to go. And the flip would be true on Mother's Day, right? For the moms, exactly. For the solo moms out there. So I think next one, great segue into the next one, I think for sure would be, let's talk about a little Father's Day recap since we did a Mother's Day recap. But I think it got great reviews. I think Fatherhood is fantastic. I would highly recommend watching it. If you aren't a solo dad, I would say watch and advise and realize that, I'd say like three things. One, that solo dads are trying and they're out there and they exist. Well, one, they're trying. Yeah. Two, they're out there. And three, like, again, I think we've said this before, like, just show up. If you know one or you know someone that is one, just like show up and try. Because I think that's
occasionally check in.
Yeah. You know, life's still moving forward. So, but we're out there. We're just trying to figure it out like everybody else is, just half as fast. I don't know. That sounds all right. Anything else from you, buddy?
Nah, I'm good, man. Like, I'm glad they made the movie. I think is what, like, it's, I'm glad they did it. Cause it's not an easy topic to go really like, hey, this will be a great movie. Like, but I'm glad they did it. It was good.
Yeah.
So other than that, keep on summering on.
Amen.
And all the things.
All right. And I forgot to do this on the front end because this is a midday one. I don't want everyone to think we're raging alcoholics. Today's episode looked like it was brought to you by a cup of water.
By tap.
Water from home.
Fosse. My Fosse water.
When you're all out of Fiji, you go straight to the source, which is also where Fiji gets their water, is the tap. Mine was, in case I'm talking a little fast, mine was brought to you by Rockstar. I really like Rockstar. Rockstar's fantastic. Because every now and then, you need extra caffeine to get through the day.
Yes, you do. A little B vitamin caffeine combo kick.
Whatever, what are the Terrarin or whatever, copper, lead. I know my kidneys are going to hit me when I'm older, but you know what? Every now and then, you got to get it.
Yeah, daddy needs a boost.
That's right. As always, I think
thank you,
we're going to see if this works. Yeah, thank you, Ben, for taking the time out of your day. Friends and family and our tribe allies, thank you for listening. If you can give us a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to this podcast, it would be greatly appreciated. You can find the Solo Dad group and podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I think we just under the Solo Dad. So give us a like, give us a follow, and we appreciate all of your support. Ben, thanks again, buddy.
Thank you, Matt.